You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Darrell Connor.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the first Marquette University Law School poll since the fall midterms has come out, or earlier today. We'll find out how Wisconsinites feel about Governor Evers, President Trump, state tax and spending priorities, plus the issues facing the state now, things like marijuana legalization, Medicaid expansion with federal money, and more. First, it is time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a musician and a teacher.
Tony Memel is a Waukesha native who's living his passion, a career in music. He plays guitar and piano, writes and records original songs, tours the country playing gigs, and works with kids, teaching music and spreading his message of positivity and perseverance. And he's overcome a physical difference in order to make it happen. Tony's cousin, producer Brad Kohlberg, recently caught up with him as he worked with kids at Crestwood Elementary School in Madison.
That sounds really cool.
I got my first guitar when I was 13 years old. I had a friend from school named Max who could hear a song off the radio, and before it was even done playing, he could play it on his guitar. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I went home to my folks and I said, "Hey, Mom and Dad, wouldn't it be awesome if you bought me an electric guitar?" And they said, "We'll meet you halfway." So I got my first couple of jobs. I started dreaming about guitars, learning about guitars, went to the music store and talked to the guitar guys about guitars. And it was over my spring break when I was in eighth grade that I went to Casio Interstate Music in New Berlin, Wisconsin, and picked out my brand new Fender Stratocaster and brought it home to learn how to play.
Started to dream when I was just 13. I saved my money in a jar so I could buy.
I was born without a left hand, and when I went to a guitar teacher in my town, he said, "We're really excited that you're learning to play the guitar, but I don't feel like I have the skill set to teach you, so you might be on your own with that." And I didn't get angry at him. I didn't think, well, that there goes my guitar dream. I found an empty shoebox and I filled it full of supplies like Scotch tape and glue and string and paper clips, anything that I thought might help me to build a cast. So my first cast was literally taking a roll of Scotch tape, putting a pick on the end of my arm, and then just wrapping it over and over again to make my first sounds. And over the years, I evolved all the way to Gorilla Tape, and I just have now honed and crafted my cast to be what it is today.
Dancing it, I got this fin, but you should see me swim.
As I've gone out into the world as a touring artist and musician, I've had the opportunity to connect with children and adults alike who have differences of their fingers or hands, and I work with many groups who support those communities.
You should see me swim.
And one of those groups is called the Lucky Fin Project, like Nemo from the Disney Pixar film Finding Nemo, because Nemo, the lead character in the film, has a small fin, which his father calls his lucky fin affectionately. So that's where the name comes from.
Yeah, I got this fin, and you should see me swim.
Here we go.
Some people saw more in me than playing in clubs and restaurants and things like that, but saw that I might also be able to share a message with kids. And so I started being asked to come and do a full week clinic with their students where I break down how I build my adaptive cast and we learn songs together. This week we're writing a school song together and I'm helping to take ideas from the group and melody ideas, and then at the school assembly on Friday we're going to do a release of this song that we've been working on all week.
Tony Memel is a musician and teacher.
Bye, Tony Memel.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Tony Memel.
Bye, have a good day.
Bye, Tony.
Bye. Thanks for singing with me.
Thank you.
Bye, see you later.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now the 2020 presidential election is gearing up, and one key question is who will actually turn out to vote on Election Day?
Throughout American history, white voters have often turned out in greater numbers than voters of color. There are a lot of theories for why. Some point to voter suppression and other structural barriers. Others say it's socioeconomic factors.
But in his new book, our next guest says there's a different explanation. Bernard Fraga is an assistant professor of political science at Indiana University. He's the author of the new book entitled The Turnout Gap, Race, Ethnicity, and Political Inequality in a Diversifying America. Bernard, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. First, Bernard, what do we know about who votes right now and who doesn't?
So political scientists have been very interested in rates of voter turnout and differences in turnout for different social groups. We know that young people vote less than older people, for example. We think that Republicans and Democrats vote at similar rates. But the difference that I'm interested in is racial and ethnic disparities in voter turnout. So one of the things that I find, that you mentioned, is that Latino, African-American, and Asian-American adults turn out at far lower rates than the white population in the United States.
Now, how does turnout among voters of color change depending on where those voters are in the country?
Sure. So I use data from the voter registration lists to establish rates of voter turnout at the state and the sub-state, like the congressional district or the county level. And one of the things that I observe is that in places, that is states or districts or counties, where there's a high concentration of minority groups, such as a lot of African Americans or a lot of Latinos, we see that turnout is higher for those groups. So in most parts of the country where whites are the largest population share, that explains why their turnout's very high. In parts of the country where African Americans or Latinos are a larger part of the population, turnout is high for them too.
Now, does it matter, or if there's a difference between a presidential election versus midterms?
So in midterm elections, we generally observe that turnout for low turnout prone groups like young people or racial and ethnic minorities is lower than for high turnout prone groups like older voters or the white population. So we do see that broad pattern. But the same consistent kind of meta pattern exists, which is that turnout is higher for minority groups, even in midterms and presidential elections, when they're a larger share of the potential voter population in an area.
So how does an issue like gerrymandering affect minority turnout?
So that's really interesting. One of the observations that I have is that at the congressional district level, turnout's higher when groups are a larger share of the population, as I mentioned. But also when you shift the lines of a congressional district, in essence, when you gerrymander in a very particular way to make it so that an ethnic group all of a sudden has a larger share of the population, their turnout increases. So this has some implications for gerrymandering, not just partisan gerrymandering, but racial gerrymandering, where if groups were concentrated, and when whites are concentrated, therefore, as well, turnout increases, not just is higher, but actually increases over what we observed before. So we can actually change people's behavior by the way district lines are drawn.
Bernard Fraga joins us. He's an assistant professor of political science at Indiana University. He is also the author of the new book entitled The Turnout Gap, Race, Ethnicity, and Political Inequality in a Diversifying America. When people of color are a smaller share of the population, it seems they're less likely to vote. So why is that? What are some of the causes and reasons for that?
So the explanations that we've used before that you mentioned earlier, socioeconomics, even age differences, those all are important. But because we see this pattern of lower turnout when these groups are a lower concentration of the population, it implies that something else is going on. And what I think is going on is that campaigns, candidates, politicians, and even community organizations are less likely to do the on-the-ground work of actually mobilizing these communities when they don't really feel like they have an electoral incentive to do so. In places where there's a small minority population, then politicians running for office say, I don't really need to turn out that group to vote. I can instead focus on my base of voters, which might be white, older, whatever else, the people that always turn out to vote at high rates. So it kind of snowballs. You see a situation where a politician says, well, this group's probably not going to vote, and they're not a very large share of the electorate, so why should I even try and get out the vote with that group?
Now, having said that, there is the belief that Democrats are much better at reaching voters of color and getting them out to vote than Republicans. Is that true overall, or does that depend on where in the country people happen to be?
So that's generally true for minority groups. Today, we're experiencing very high levels of polarization, and that also includes kind of a racial polarization in terms of party. So African-Americans, Latinos, and Asian-Americans are much more likely to be Democrats than Republicans, and much more likely to be Democrats than the white population in almost every single state in the country. So we see a broad pattern where Democrats are not just more able to get out the vote, but also have a stronger need to get out the vote for minority voters and can rely on minority voters to be an important source of support in recent elections.
I also think a lot of people think that if America is getting more diverse, that necessarily means that people of color will gain more political influence. But what you've said is that isn't exactly right. So when you talk about political influence, what do you mean by that?
So by influence, I mean exactly the phenomena that we've been talking about, which is that where minority groups are concentrated, where they're a large share of the population, they have more influence in election outcomes. That's where they can really shape who wins and who loses, and where politicians are more likely to pay attention. Now, one of the things that happens because turnout is lower for these minority groups is that election results that we witness are not representative of the entire American population. So in 2016, turnout was particularly low in certain states like Wisconsin for African-American voters. And what you saw is, because of Wisconsin, Michigan, and other states, a shift in who won and who lost that wouldn't have happened if voter turnout rates were equal between whites and minority groups. So it's not just about the influence that minority groups have in elections as we become more diverse. It's really about how representative our elections are of the wishes of all American adults.
And finally, where do you think your research suggests for people looking to close the turnout gap?
So we need to figure out what works. We need to figure out what are the strategies, maybe the strategies that are most cost-effective, that will actually turn out minority voters. Perhaps if we can shift incentives and tell candidates and campaigns that it wouldn't be that difficult to try and reach out to African-Americans or Latino voters, maybe even where they're not a large share of the population. Then I think we'd see a closure of the turnout gap and election outcomes that are, again, more representative of the wishes of all Americans.
Bernard, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Bernard Fraga, assistant professor of political science at Indiana University. He was with us to talk about his book entitled The Turnout Gap, Race, Ethnicity, and Political Inequality in a Diversifying America.